CliffCentral.com.
Post Malone and Circles. I actually read an article about this because, you know, I'm a little bit obsessed with the song. And they reckon it's one of the songs that defines this year. How's that?
Mm.
No small compliment for sure. Post Malone.
Oh,
yes.
That's a big claim.
It is, huh? And they go into, you know, the psychology of it and kind of how the lyrics represent what a lot of people's relationships are like now, going around in circles, all that kind of thing. How people just, they avoid conflict in relationships. They don't talk about stuff.
They avoid relationships.
I mean, it might all be bullshit, because if you look at Post Malone, you'd think the guy just, you know, he's been rolling around in mud and wearing the same pair of pants since he was 10.
Unkempt.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't think he'd written the defining song of 2019, but let's see.
Yeah, no, I would have disputed that a bit.
All right. It's chilly in Johannesburg. We've got lots of rain scheduled for the weekend too. Tomorrow looks like it's going to be rainy. So if you've got plans to be outdoors, you better change those.
Yeah, it's clearly not going to happen.
Leanne said that she's got a bunch of things to tell us, but before we get to them, some feedback here from Carl. He says you can skip the dog name list, and that's coming
that's
from
helpful
me.
Feedback.
That's coming from me, Carl, the guy who was named for Gareth's dog.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, we'll skip that one.
Yeah.
So in other words, we can do this one, and that's Justin Timberlake apologizing on Twitter.
Uh-oh.
Or Instagram, or one of them.
Yeah.
To his wife Jessica Biel. After a strong lapse in judgment.
What did he do?
He has been working on a show called Palmer, P-A-L-M-E-R. I haven't heard of it before. Yeah. His co-star is Alicia Wainwright. And they were, the whole crew was out somewhere hanging out. And they were videoed holding hands.
Uh-oh.
In fact, her hand was on his knee and he was holding it.
Oh.
Yeah, so that got out.
Alicia Wainwright's hot, by the way.
Yeah. I think Jessica Biel's hotter.
I looked her up immediately.
Jessica Biel. No, okay, carry on with the story, then I'll comment.
Anywho, so he has apologized. They've been married for 7 years, by the way, him and Jessica. On Instagram writing, I stay away from gossip as much as I can, but for my family, I feel it's important to address recent rumors that are hurting the people I love. A few weeks ago, I displayed a strong lapse in judgment, but let me be clear, nothing happened between me and my co-star. I drank way too much that night, and I regret my behavior. I should have known better. This is not the example I want to set for my son. I apologize to my amazing wife and family for putting them through such an embarrassing situation.
Oh, isn't he making it worse by putting it on Twitter?
That's what I'm thinking.
Jesus, dude. And by the way, I've just done a side-by-side comparison of Jessica Biel and Alicia Wainwright. I think he should stick to Jessica Biel. I mean, as beautiful as Alicia Wainwright is, and she might just be more exciting to him because she's new. I mean, he's been married to Jessica Biel for 7 years, so maybe he's just a bit bored with her. It happens.
No, it they were just holding hands.
Oh,
listen, I'm the most cynical when it comes to men cheating.
Okay.
But apparently everyone there says they were just laughing and happened to hold hands, and it was very innocent.
I'm not casting aspersions. I'm just saying, put yourself in Justin's position. Who would you choose?
I'm not buying
Alicia Wainwright.
Alicia Wainwright's younger.
Yes.
She's fresh. Let's do a vote around the studio. This is always a fun thing to do with other people's relationships. If you were in it, who would you stay with? Let's play a little game show this morning. All right, I'm sorry, by the way, if you're Justin Timberlake and you are upset by this, but here it is. It's time for a game of Alicia or Jessica. Let's start with Sia Sangweni. If you had to choose.
Because I don't like people with a personality of a rice cake, I'll go with Alicia.
All right. Pinky, what do you say?
I love her hair, so I'm going for Alicia.
All right. Two votes, Alicia. Mbulelo.
Jessica Biel.
Oh. Now, if there's one more vote for Jessica Biel, we have a stalemate. I think I've already said that I would choose Jessica Biel, so it's 2-2. Leanne Mole, you could have the casting vote here, but there's still Gugu. Go for it.
I don't know Alicia Wainwright. Neither do I know.
You know what? You don't know either of them,
I don't.
That's a terrible argument to
but
start.
But I've seen live interviews and that sort of thing more with Jessica Biel.
All right, and you like her?
But just for the sake of keeping the family together, I would say Jessica Biel.
All right, how very thoughtful and responsible a decision of you. Gugu, who do you choose? Go on, I can't hear you. You're going to have to come in here, sorry. Your microphone's not working this morning. I wish we could figure out just once and for all how to switch that stupid microphone in that booth on. Who do you choose?
Punch Greg or Spike in the face or something.
Yeah. All right, there's no need for violence.
Oh, geez,
sorry.
Jesus.
Sorry.
I'm starting to worry about you.
Well, Gareth, I mean, I like them exotic, and Alicia is exotic. I like her. Ooh. I think
right,
it's Alicia.
So, that's exotic. True. We did hear about exotic when you went on first dates. He doesn't like girls who fit the normal.
Mm.
Yeah. I think I found exotic, actually.
Okay,
tell you about it later.
All right. Oh, that's an exciting...
Did you fall in love with Mbulelo's shirt?
Just by the
actually,
way...
Actually, no.
This is a problem now, because we've got 3 votes to each of the girls. Now you understand Justin Timberlake's dilemma.
Mm.
Anyway, look, he probably didn't do anything. It's just weird that he would apologize on Twitter.
I think it's because a while back, there was another photo of him with someone else... that also cast doubt, and that's why this time he's just gone out and said, this is the story, so yeah, shut up.
But the minute you do something like this, which is really essentially just a conversation between you and your wife, and you share it with everyone, then everyone is now involved in your relationship. And I'm not talking about us because we're having fun with our little
but
game
also,
show.
But also, yeah, we wouldn't have known, would we? If?
No, I wouldn't have even thought about this, but now he's gone and made it something that I need to be aware of. Justin, keep this shit for you and your wife.
Yeah.
Now there are going to be a whole bunch of psychopaths out there who think they're in your relationship with you two. Don't share this kind of thing. You don't need to.
Call me a little cynical. I'm not buying any of this. So Palmer is a movie that Alicia and Justin Timberlake are working on. It's scheduled.
It's a series.
Yeah, it's scheduled for release next year. The plot line already is that the Justin Timberlake's character and Alicia's character are lovers in this movie.
Oh gosh, the plot.
Anyone have a little whiff of the studio drumming this up together? Okay. And I don't know if there've been any new images released around this, but
you know
the
what,
ones
Sia,
I've
you
seen.
You are cynical, but you're right. This could
thank
just
you.
Be a publicity.
The
exercise.
Ones I've seen are simply Justin sitting very close to Alicia. And then the photo that I actually saw was of Alicia with her hand on Justin's knee. There was no kissing. There was no even whispering into each other's ears. Mm-hmm. I think this is everyone drumming up hype around this potential movie. Yeah.
I don't know if he would have brought his wife and son into it, though, if it was just for publicity.
When last did you talk about Justin Timberlake?
That's a good point.
When last did you talk about Jessica Biel? When last did you go and watch a movie with either one of them?
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. Point proven. There we go.
Good morning, guys. I just thought I'd let you know I'm on my way to a place called Swaziland. I'm not even quite sure where it is, so hopefully the GPS does. I'm going there for a wedding. So, yeah, just a short message to say thanks for keeping me company on the road here. I'm a little bit sick, as you can hear. I feel
you sound horrendous. All right, well, there's Sean. He's going to Swaziland. Does anyone know where that is?
I've seen it on the way to somewhere. It's like in the middle of nowhere.
Schweizerin.
I didn't even know how to spell that.
No. Uh-huh. German name. Schweizer, I would imagine.
Mm.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry. I've ended up spelling Schweizer engineer Schwarzenegger.
So, listen, you've got to see this Alicia Wainwright. She's good looking. A lot of people agreeing with that. Very, very nice. Okay, moving on, because there is more important stuff in the world than other people's relationships. I know for people who love gossip, that sounds ridiculous, but honestly, Google Maps. I use Google Maps all the time. I'm obsessed with Google Earth. I love satellite photography. I love seeing where I've been, where I'm going. It's the best. And if you're a person who's obsessed with geography and who used to look through atlases from beginning to end, when you were a kid, like I did.
I used to read them like books.
So they've introduced some new feature that we never saw coming. What is it?
Very cool. It's called a lighting layer. And what it does is it highlights on your map streets that are brightly lit in a specific location. So if you think about it, if you are inclined to be a pedestrian, and this would affect many people in Europe.
Yes.
If you want to try and avoid at night streets that are darkly lit, it can show you where to walk, which I think is very cool. Avoiding dark streets at night. So the streets that are well lit will be highlighted in yellow. And the visual indicator should be enough to help you avoid certain areas, especially when walking by yourself at night in a place that you've never been before. So that's quite nice for if you're traveling as well. So yes, the feature will be available in India while testing, and then will roll out into various regions of the world.
That's not the most exciting thing I've ever heard. I thought you were going to surprise me and say that, you know, suddenly we've got...
No, but it's a serious thing. Like, for instance, I remember speaking to someone who walks in a lot in Joburg, and she said, I remarked on the beautiful trees in Greenside and the fact that this one road that you drive down, the trees touch each other and form an archway, and it's really lovely. And she said, you won't believe the lengths that people go to who walk around at night to avoid those, because they hide the streetlights.
Okay. Well, I suppose if you're a jogger or you're a woman on your own, or
yeah,
because there are dangerous places, so you wouldn't know where it's well lit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it may not be for you, but I think it'll help a lot of sports people and pedestrians.
That's really smart.
Just by the way, on Schweizerenica, the town Schweizerenica is the one where the woman who sent her husband a beaver shot, the hockey mom,
yes.
And then that picture went viral. Remember there was that hockey group.
Yes.
What was her name? Marlies.
It's not near Fok Marlies.
That's not that one. It's someone else. But do you remember that woman? And she instead of sending her husband the picture.
Margaret van Wake.
Margaret. That's it.
So I finally discovered how to spell Schweizerenica. And yes, as soon as you complete that, Google autocomplete to hockey mom. What a legacy.
Really?
Oh, no.
Sure, that's fantastic.
Boozy.
Margaret.
But I'm not boozy.
Oh, no.
They say things haven't gone well for her since that photo.
Of course not.
But I'm not boozy.
Because people are.
Which is unfair, because if you do it in Hollywood, things do go well for you.
Oh, man.
If you look at Paris Hilton, Kim Kardashian.
Shot, getting out the car.
Pamela Anderson.
Sex tape, yeah.
Those women have done really well.
Oh, Margaret has had to move out of town.
Oh, no.
She and her husband divorced.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
Chris, the husband, just still isn't able to deal with the scandal.
But I'm not boozy.
Margaret says, I only sleep an hour at night. Then I'm laying there and thinking, I didn't think people are able to go that far, that people are willing to break your life in pieces.
Boozy.
And when they're finished with you, it's not enough. They take on your husband and your children.
Oh, shame.
That's horrible. I think it's, you know what? Margaret, you're a trailblazer.
What a disgusting article this is. Well, not a disgusting, but just very insensitive. They end off this article by quoting Margaret, and they say, perhaps she will now finally find peace, having taught hockey moms around the country to make sure they're sending their messages to the correct WhatsApp group.
I mean, vagina boozy.
Who wrote this article? We need to out this journalist for
Jasmine
being shit.
Stone. Shame.
Jasmine Stone's probably not even her real name. You disgusting bottom feeder. You leave Margaret alone. You know what? The fact that we just brought her up now, I hope she's okay, and I hope she's doing really well. I hope she's made lots of money off her vagina pictures, and I hope someone somewhere has been captivated by her in such a way that he is buying her flowers and chocolates and making sure that she feels very special. I don't like the story that she's been divorced and she's moved out of town.
Yeah.
Shame, Margaret. I hope you're well. If you want a job, Margaret, I'm willing to think about it.
Ooh, you know, Schweizerenica is also the town where that preschool picture went viral.
Which
of
one?
The class that was divided by race.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Your Schweizerenica, you need a PR job here. Things need to be changed up there.
All right, very good. Isn't Schweizerenica also the place where they took that racist photo, says Carl? Yes,
oh,
it is.
See?
So Carl's onto it. Schweizerenica, what's his name? A lot of people jumping on Margaret and saying, yes, that's what made it famous. Otherwise, we wouldn't have even known about Schweizerenica's mayor ought to be paying Margaret royalties for what she's done for the town.
Putting it on the map.
Oh, phew. Load shedding has just been suspended in my neighborhood in Cape Town. Do we even have that reaction of relief as if Eskom is now the hero? Yes, sis. Yeah, people are... Listen, and that's coming from Riet this morning. So if you were going through load shedding this morning, we're sorry. What can we say?
Schweizer Reneke is near Freiburg.
In the Free State?
It's in between Mahikeng and Kimberley.
Wait, but Leanne, you have to read out the names of the small towns around. Just look at some of these names.
Yeah, there are a lot of weird names.
Pudimu, Tuang.
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 No, man, Taung. Oh. Not Tuang.
Wow, see ya.
It's yes, not Japan, I'm sorry.
There's Wolmaranstad, Makwasi.
These are real.
Machong, Hartswater, Sioding, Siking. Jan Kempdorp, Christiane, Bruderspruit.
See, any of those towns, if they'd had a Margaret, would have been well known to us, but alas.
Claudina.
These are real places.
De La Ravel.
Mm. Pinky, this is your province. You should know something.
No, that's the northwest, right? Northern Cape and northwest. But I've been to Taung, actually.
Mm, what happens there?
Nothing. Not Taung.
I had an excavation in Taung, and there was literally... Not Taung. Taung.
Taung. How many people live in that town?
I think five.
All of these towns sound like they were named by sound effects Michael Jackson used to make. Like Mamusa.
Mamusa, 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 Mamusa,
Mamusa.
Down, down.
Right.
Yeah, go on, what else?
All sound.
I don't think Wolmaranstad.
Or Vampirstad.
Vampirstad. Jesus,
really? Amalia.
I like Bona Bona. So good, you must say it twice.
Bona Bona. Bona Bona.
Dibudi.
Bona.
Dibudi.
Dibudi.
Right?
Dibudi. Dibudi. I like that.
D-I-P-U-D-I.
Sakhameng.
No, I don't think that came out of Michael Jackson's mouth.
Sure.
Wow.
Sure, these places have got their 15 minutes of fame, hey?
Well done. All right, that's enough of that bullshit.
Northwest.
See, we went from maps into stupid towns around Schweizer Reneke. All right, please, Leanne, you've got us on tenterhooks. So apparently those plugs that they put on the handlebars of bikes.
On the ends of them.
It's not just for grip.
Uh-oh.
What are they for?
Okay.
How
do I put this gently?
Brace yourself, everybody.
A teenager has partly degloved his penis
no!
and inverted his scrotum in a horrific bike accident. Was that gentle enough?
Oh.
The terms degloved and penis just should never exist in
the
sentence together.
So shame, this 14-year-old boy
14.
Riding along... Riding along, crashed his bike into a parked car, and he was impaled on his own handlebars. The unfortunate youth was cycling one-handed at walking pace along a pavement while holding a drink when the incident took place. He suffered an extensive groin injury with a laceration that ran for 12 to 14 centimeters from the left groin across the pubis to the right, and 10 centimeters inferiorly into the perineum, which inverted the left scrotum and partially degloved the penis.
See, I have to be honest with you. I stopped listening after the first sentence because it's just too painful to actually imagine what's going on. This is awful. Why didn't he have those butt plugs? What do you call them? Handlebar plugs. On the ends of his handlebars.
Bar end plugs.
Bar end plugs. That's what I said.
Yeah, well, apparently they
fell off.
They greatly reduce the likelihood of parts of your bike ending up inside your body.
Oh, Jesus.
How often is that happening? That you've
it's
got to
take me, actually.
You
whoa,
do.
What? Hold the phone. Hold the phone. Free State.
Is that how you lost your scrotum?
Breaking news.
Go on, Caitlin Jenner. Tell us how it happened.
That didn't come out right.
That's what the doctor said when...
a part of my...
Pinky used to be called Paul, but then she had a bike accident.
What happened?
Pinky, what happened?
A few stitches at the doctor's room changed everything.
Oh, my goodness. A part of my bike landed up in my ankle. I think I should have a scar.
How? Did that happen? What, did you go over the handlebars?
I can't remember what happened. I was really probably 6 or 7.
Okay.
Yeah. I just remember like walking home and I cried only when I saw my mom.
Sure.
Yeah.
You had a piece of your bike in your ankle.
Yeah.
Well,
so you do get a lot of bikes that don't have them on.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you are going to buy a bike, maybe, you know, just consider it.
Are they? What has happened to this boy?
Okay, well, mercifully, it says, the holy child appears to have made a full recovery, although it remains unclear whether the injury will affect his sexual function.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Yeah, and they often break off as well.
Oh, my. Oh.
No, I'm talking about the bike. The bar end
plugs. You meant the penises.
Listen, I incurred a vagina injury of note on a bike. I really did. It was in the days where I was just learning to ride, and my dad, who, I mean, I trusted him. He's a cyclist. He pushed me off along this long driveway, and I had back brakes, back pedal brakes, instead of the handlebar ones. Mm. And I got to the end of the driveway and the gate was closed. And I jumped off the bike, but my feet didn't reach the floor. The bike was too big. Shit. And I crashed my vagina onto the middle bar. I was very good. I didn't say anything. Went inside and begged all for my mum to see. And she was like, jeez, you've got the hugest blood blister I've ever seen in my life.
Ow.
Not good. Stop laughing, Sia. Aww. And you too. All of you men.
I'm so sorry.
Men.
Oh, Pinky, you too.
Yeah,
Pinky, your sexuality is questionable now.
Pinky's a man. She lost her. I'm sorry.
Sure.
Leanne always has a story. It's just amazing. Like someone said to me the other day, when Leanne just has all these stories, you'd think she'd lived 5 lifetimes.
I feel like it. I'm flipping tired. I'll tell you that much.
Isn't it funny that as much as we may evolve and learn and grow as humankind, we are still so simple with things like our genitals are so important to us.
Oh, well, like I've told you before, chimpanzee. If a male chimpanzee is threatened by you, he goes straight for your genitals.
Mm.
Or he goes straight for his.
Yeah, because, you see, this is we're basically related to them. They're our closest living relatives.
Mm.
And I don't think we've ever really got away from how important our genitals are. We still prioritize them above all else. What do you do if you watch the soccer players when they stand in a wall in front of the goals? What do they do?
Yes.
They protect those gonads. Very important.
I finally got into...
And why do we find genital injury so amusing when it's other people?
Yeah,
and so horrifying when it's us?
I finally got into Hasan Minhaj's Patriotic Act show on Netflix.
Oh, yeah?
And also watched that episode around cruises around the world and. But long story short, they reference the price that cruise employees' bodies are valued at and how much they could be compensated for injuries while working on board. So like losing your ear or, you know, needing like a hip replacement is nothing in comparison to a male losing, for example, his penis. So everything would go for a couple of hundred US dollars or a couple of thousands in terms of insurance. But if a male loses his penis, he gets like 21,000 or 22,000 US dollars because it's like, whoa, like, hey.
I wonder how you'd lose
important.
That on a cruise.
Oh, maybe a bucket falls.
Or a bicycle bar handle, something
it's
like
so
that.
When he bites me, right near my vagina. When I'm walking and he sees all the dog, he right away, he jump on my vagina because he gets so crazy. He doesn't know who I am.
Like that woman, for example.
Oh, she's having a bad day.
Very bad day.
And so that's
all good.
No, I don't think she liked some of her. No,
she sounds pretty stressed.
Yeah. It also then makes me laugh seeing the big hoopla over this new male contraception, this first male birth control that's in the works.
Yeah.
What's it, a pill?
It's an injection that would have to be injected into a penis.
No.
You see, you say that and suddenly men...
Why not the scrotum?
Suddenly,
where the
suddenly men who are all for being responsible, I'll be the one who takes care of this, I'll make sure that I don't impregnate anybody
but
by mistake.
But it's a needle in your scrotum.
The minute you say needle, penis, boom, I'm out. I'm like, sorry, honey, keep taking those pills.
Calm down, folks. It would be performed under local anesthesia.
Still.
And it would be have to be performed once every 13 years.
Hang on.
Oh,
local anesthesia. That means I have to put a needle into your penis first.
Oh, yeah.
And then put another needle into your penis. Come on.
Once every 13 years to avoid having children in total.
But also your opinion could change in 13 years. You might want to have children.
Yeah, is it reversible?
Wait, okay. So
I think I'm in agreement with Mane here. I think it's too much to ask.
Mbulelo, you would not consider this.
Mbulelo, would you rather, do you prefer the pull-out method or the...
No, well, I can't take those choices. No glove, no love should always be the rule. But no, 13 years is too long. What if you meet somebody who's...
Well, Mbulelo will just wear that shirt that he's wearing this morning. You don't want to fuck him anyway.
You're saying it's a contraceptive.
A couple of comments. If you go to cliffcentral.com or cliffcentral.com on Instagram, you can see what we're talking about. But Lawrence says, wow, I'm not sure if Mbulelo's shirt just gave me arc eyes or pink eye. Then Stuart says, very festive. Mm. AJ Cochran saying, great shirt. Eleanor saying, love the shirt. It's very fryer. And a guy called Craig, he says, this is a true legend. What a great shirt. So mixed feedback on Brulillo's shirt.
I'd say mostly positive.
Yeah, it does look like it's part of the Christmas decorations in the studio. Looks like he stole it from the Melrose Arch light show.
You sent us a special picture of a special Christmas decoration yesterday.
Oh, what's that?
With Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, it's a picture of Jeffrey Epstein on a Christmas decoration, and it says, this decoration didn't hang itself.
It's awesome.
It's fantastic.
Is it too soon?
I want one.
No.
Or something like that.
No, it's not never too soon. Come on. So in other words, two needles for men who are going to go for this contraception.
Mm-mm.
Two needles, too much.
Not one is too much.
Just back to Jeffrey Epstein, I was watching it was the latest documentary on BBC where they interview Virginia, the victim, of the victims.
We played a part of that.
And then did you hear that the one woman was South African?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
There was
a
story.
Is it
the same one?
Yeah,
the same one that we talked about? Oh, there's I thought there was a new one. But Leanne, this is an interesting message here. They can laugh at us together. At a young age, I lost my hymen from a bicycle. I was cycling at Grants Complex in Zimbabwe at full speed, standing on the pedals, didn't see the speed bump approaching. As I hit the bump at full speed, the not so padded bicycle seat smashed into my pubis. That's from Anonymous.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's horrendous.
Brutal.
It must have been so painful.
Apparently jellyfish also save their reproductive organs above all else. That's from Michelle. Who works at the aquarium, so she knows these things. Even jellyfish know to protect their gonads.
I wouldn't know where they are on the jellyfish.
Oh, you don't have to reproduce with them, so that's all right.
Yeah. Maybe if you threaten one, he'll put his hands in front of it.
But it's probably a good thing, right, Gareth, that we care about, because, as Schopenhauer says, the will to life and all of that.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to reproduce and make the next generation to laugh at our generation hurting their genitals. Leighton says, ass always has a story that tops all others. Doesn't matter what the topic is. I'm laughing my backside off. It's amazing. You poor woman. Never changed. So it's both a compliment and an insult.
It's both. And it's, I sometimes wish I didn't have a better story. Sometimes I just keep quiet.
Even though you're sitting on something.
Yeah.
Someone wants me to discuss an Instagram post I put up yesterday of what they're saying is my doppelganger. So someone sent me a picture. I wish I could credit this person, but I can't find the original message. The King of Belgium is a guy called Philippe, all right? And Philippe of Belgium looks like this. And people say, if you put me into the age app, it turns exactly the same.
Oh, yes, his hair even parts the same way.
Even with your new haircut, yeah.
Yeah, so King Philippe of Belgium is, he's married, he's 50-something years old. Turns out we are, distantly related.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But I'm wondering if my mother wasn't visiting Belgium.
Yeah.
But it is. I mean, like, it's really spooky because if you take the age app.
But it's weird, though, because I'm looking
at exactly the same.
I'm looking at other pictures of him, and they're not nearly as good as just
that
one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, he's not wearing glasses, because I also obviously went and Google imaged him. And in all the other pictures, he's wearing glasses, and you can't really see his hair. So it's mostly obviously in the eyes and the hair. But it's kind of freaky. I mean, this guy really does look a lot like me.
Yeah, very much.
Oh, my goodness, Gareth. Even his kids look like... If you had kids, they would look like this.
So he is, I mean, I had to go and check this out because it was just freaky to me as well. And everybody's agreeing on Instagram, it looks like me. I went and looked at the family tree and found out that we're like fifth or sixth cousins.
No way.
Yeah. So there is a relation there.
Gareth, you look more like him than he does.
What? Be stupid. But it is kind of, it's hilarious. So people saying, well, you know, don't bother with age app. Just go to Belgium and watch what you'll look like in 50 years. Just observe him, like as he walks around, and you'll be able to figure out what you'll do when you're older.
And so if you're royalty now, Gareth, what happens to people you know? Do you now...
what happens to your friends like us?
Do you now...
Well, I'm just thinking I could go over there and say to him, listen, if you really want to do a good PR thing here, just let me take over and you can go and hide. I'll just be the king of Belgium.
You would love that.
I'd be a good king of Belgium.
Would you?
I think... Well, I can't speak French.
Depends on what you have
Flemish.
To do.
To that degree. Mm? Or Flemish. I'd need to brush up
you
on both.
You could just speak Afrikaans. It passes as Flemish.
Mind you, suppose it's meant to be.
They might just think you've got a bit of a speech impediment like the Spanish king.
Maybe, huh? That's well, speaking of DNA and speaking of relations and the fact that you don't know where you get your genes from, I've always said you're exactly half your genes and you are half the product of your environment. But the one thing nobody ever seems to pay attention to is the genes. Because you always talk, people go to psychologists, and they, oh, you know, when I was younger, oh, my mother didn't give me enough love or whatever it might be. When we were kids, we were poor. I grew up in this place. But half of who they are is in the genes. And this is why a while ago I went for a DNA test. And it's been fascinating to find out, first of all, about where I come from, but also how I can take better care of my body. And I spoke to a woman from DNA analysis biotechnology on the phone for like 45 minutes about what I needed to eat, what I should look out for, all kinds of interesting stuff. And if you have a chance to do this, you really should. There was one about fitness. There was one about diet. There was one about possible physical ailments and problems I could have. Plenty of things that might be really, really interesting. Even a mental one, a physical one. Lots of different info that you can get out of this. And Helen Gauchy's here. She's actually a dietitian from DNA analysis. She's here to tell us how vital a simple DNA test like the one I did could be for you. Hey, Helen, how are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Good, nice to... Well, I'm still here, so obviously the advice worked.
I hope so.
So I thought this would be interesting for a lot of people because, first of all, we're all fascinated by DNA. It seems to hold the secrets to where we're from, who we are, what kinds of things we inherit from our ancestors, what stuff we are connected to in some way, shape, or form. And really, if you think about it, your whole life and your body is just a way for DNA to make more of itself. That's really all it is. You're just a meat vehicle for the DNA to keep on
replicating.
Right.
Exactly.
So you must work with this stuff every day and discover all kinds of fascinating things. Are people starting to catch on? Are they interested in this stuff like they've never been before?
Definitely. It's a big growing field. I mean, we as a company have been around for over 12 years now, but it really has, in the last year or two, there's been an exponential growth in seeing how you can use your DNA or use your genetics to personalize your health care, to personalize training programs, looking at weight management. And now what we're actually also looking at is in South Africa, we're going to be the first company to bring the most comprehensive ancestry test.
This will tell you where your ancestors come from and what kind of lives they might have led, tens even you know, 50,000 years ago. Yes. That's amazing.
Yes, thousands and thousands.
I guarantee mine was swinging from trees. Guaranteed.
Interestingly, you can even tell a little bit about how much Neanderthal you have in you.
I know how much I've got because they've done this test for me. It was like 4% or 3%.
Maybe 5% even. No jokes. It can only be up to 2.3%.
Really?
Is it
maximum?
Maximum.
Is it? Are people who have red hair prone to be more Neanderthal?
No, seriously, this is a serious thing,
and people always laugh and feel offended. But yeah, I think it was a woman that we spoke to when we were with C.S. Duplessis.
Correct.
Who was doing research.
So the Neanderthals were either wiped out or interbred with us.
Yes.
And the chances are that they interbred with us, which is why we've got some of their genes in us now. Because yes. If what you ingested determined your genome, and obviously the bacteria inside of you that have contributed to your genome, but we'd all be made of cows and sheep and all kind. We'd start bleating at the dinner table and that kind of thing. But what's interesting about the Neanderthals is they all expired a couple of thousand, maybe even a few million years ago. But what happened was that they were mostly in Western Europe and Northwestern Europe. So that's why Scottish, Celtic, Pictish, Scandinavian, Western France, Northern Spain, those are most of the areas where the red hair gene is also associated.
Correct.
So that's possibly one of the explanations for it. But that's before true. We get into any of that stuff, people can learn useful information from this too, because now they're starting to identify markers on each of the chromosomes which tell you something about that person's physical characteristics. And sometimes you can even find genes that switch on and off for certain diseases and for a susceptibility to things like Parkinson's. They're discovering that there's a specific location in the chromosomes for those diseases. Yes. Right now, that's interesting, because you could essentially edit those genes once we have the technology and things like what's the
CRISPR?
That's right. The technology that they use to actually mark a gene off and then cut it out, like a pair of scissors comes in and cuts a piece of string, and takes out things that you don't need to have in your DNA.
Very cool. But I mean, with regards to that, there's, I think, a lot of ethical debate, and also I think just depending on the type of disease, they are querying whether, you know, for something like that is genetic plus lifestyle, it's sometimes not the way to go.
Oh, aren't they saying that you can also, the reason that you die of old age is because your genes at the end, the telomeres, start to wear away?
They're almost...
If I could find a way, I don't care about the ethics. If you find a way to do that, you'd phone me straight away.
Keep those telomeres long. They're like the bits of the shoelaces at the end. Yeah, and when they start to get frayed, that's when you... It's a theory. There is a lot to support it, but it is a theory.
Imagine the tiny piece of sticky tape you'd need to fix that. Sure. I wonder if they make that.
They're probably looking into
it. I want my telomeres long. Not accepting this. But they are figuring out lots of new interesting things every single day. So the stuff that I learned a couple of months ago could even have been more refined and more practically figured out since then, right?
I mean, it's a rapidly growing, exponentially growing field. And we as a company always try to keep up with the information and up to date with what we're recommending. But I think, you know, if you implement what you were told, you should hopefully be seeing some good changes so far.
Well, I haven't aged in 4,500 years, so that can be okay.
Is it expensive to have this test done?
I think for what you get, it's really good value for money.
Well, how much is it? Because people are going to ask that. So if they want to come and have, let's say, 4 or 5 of the 6 or 7 tests that you can do done.
So if you do about everything, it's around the 4,500-5,000 rand.
Oh, it's not bad at all.
You can do that if you think about how that might be able to, that might help you to
the value
get things. Yeah, you might be healthier in general. You might be eating right. You might lose weight.
Isn't it?
You might feel better about yourself. Save all those medical fees.
It's a bit scary, though. I mean, what if I can tell you what my test results would show. I know exactly what they'd be. But what about something like cancer that's not always avoidable? Okay, so lifestyle, you'd bring into it, you'd bring in diet, you'd bring in your anti-inflammatory type medications, your red fruits and berries. Mm-hmm. And
good one. Very, very good for inflammation.
Yeah. So I suppose that would be able to be controlled to that extent. But do people really want to walk around their whole lives knowing that they're prone to cancer?
So, I mean, if you think about it, everyone might be prone to some kind of disease.
Sure.
Especially everyone's prone to a disease of lifestyle of some sort. What this test allows you to do is it gives you the insight as to which biological process might be at a sort of weakened because of genetic variants. And so then you know, okay, maybe I am prone to cancer because of inflammation, or it might be because detoxification isn't working really well. And then you know, do I focus every morning on eating the red berries and take supplements specifically to reduce inflammation, or is it more around focusing on decreasing or improving detoxification processes and looking at the vegetables and the supplements to really support detoxification instead? So it really allows you to target your diet, target your supplementation, and then empower you. So none of the information should come across as scary. It should become an empowering tool to just remind you every day of what you can do better. So it's not to say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. It's say, what can I do to improve my lifestyle? And no one is perfect. No one can do everything 100% of the time. So rather, I mean, if you have to do everything, it's just no one's going to do that. So rather say, okay, well, you need to do the red berries. I need to do the B vitamins. Gareth might need to do the green veggies, for mm-hmm. example. And so then you know what to do.
And is it able to pick up things like dementia?
What?
Is it able to pick up things like dementia?
What was that?
Is it able to pick up things like dementia and heart problems? And
what did you say?
And hearing issues.
Heart problems and hearing issues.
Where does people are worried about where all this stuff goes as well? I mean, answer Leanne's question first, because some of these things are genetic.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So we have tests such as DNA Mind, which will focus on risk for cognitive decline, mood regulation, addictive behaviors, things like that. Interestingly, even psychosis risk after using cannabis. So that is we're able to do that, and then cardiovascular disease problems. But remember, it's lots of genes plus environment. Mm-hmm. So it is able to pick up your risk, but always an intervention included.
Very cool.
What happens to all this information? You guys don't share it with everybody?
No, we don't. So there are companies around the world that do share the information, and that's how I guess a lot of the research is done.
You wouldn't share it even on a macro level? Like you wouldn't perhaps say to people, well, you can have this information if it contributes to the fight against cancer, for example, but not individual people's information, but rather, you know, you've discovered, for example,
of the people we tested, 74% were susceptible to cancer.
Or they had this particular predilection to a certain kind of acidity or alkalinity in the system, or you switch off this gene by activating this, or...
So currently, we don't do any... So that's part of... our privacy policy is that we don't do any research, not even on that macro level. Hmm. There may come a time where we do, but then there would be informed consent that the individual would know what they're getting themselves into.
All right. You are a dietitian, so I would imagine a lot of the stuff that you have to do with here has implications as to what people eat and how that can positively reinforce what their genetic makeup already signals they need. What kinds of things do you find out of the people that you have dealt with people need to avoid generally?
Oh, wow.
Where are the major risk areas for people, especially
so varied.
South Africa?
I mean, and South Africa is one of the most genetically diverse population in the entire world.
Really?
Really, really. So people are always dying to get their hands on South on
pan in the pan. Wow.
Exactly. I mean, it is so diverse, but to name what are some of the big areas that you really want to get right is looking at your detoxification processes, how they're working, and to ensure that they're being supported properly. So you want to increase your intake of cruciferous vegetables. That's always quite a big one. So cruciferous.
Cruciferous vegetables.
Big word, meaning
I think I've ever had one of those.
All of your stinkies, so your broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, onion. And then onion and garlic are kind of a different family. But all of those have...
Wow.
They have amazing properties in them that actually increase the expression of certain genes and so that they work faster.
Ooh.
And then your detoxification works better.
You listening to this, George Meany?
I've had 7 of these tests done.
7? God, you're a bit addicted, aren't you?
I started with 4.
Like, you're never going to die.
No.
No, I'm living to 150, I'm afraid.
Mm.
I eat a kilo of broccoli a day.
Wow.
Pardon?
Fantastic.
A kilo of broccoli a day. I'm serious.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
No, are you impressed by that?
I'm very impressed by
after,
that.
After having these tests done, it is a massive eye-opener.
I had some raw broccoli yesterday, and I burped it all day.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's because you're not used to it.
So what do you want to ask Helen while she's here, George? And you've done these tests. You're more familiar than most people.
One realization was I love cheese. Cheese is a inflammation causer in my body. So I had to cut out cheese. And then the second thing
had
I found...
You had to cut the cheese.
I had to cut the cheese.
Exactly. That with the broccoli gas. The
second, you poor man. Your poor wife.
The second thing I found out was that my body battles to get rid of toxins. Mm. So I have to be careful with things like bad air or
bad air.
Yeah, like
With all the broccoli,
you never know.
Your own worst enemy.
Chance of that, especially if you keep the car windows closed.
Sleep with the windows open.
Exactly. It's a vicious cycle.
I never thought we'd discuss George Meany's part.
For the detoxification.
For the detoxification, exactly. Yeah. It was very interesting.
Do you have lots of cruciferous vegetables besides broccoli?
Yeah. So I'll switch the broccoli out for spinach.
Are we going to see serious improvements in people? And are they going to age less drastically? Are they going to feel better about themselves physically, better gut health, all that kind of thing, if they just do all this stuff? And is it so individualized that it depends on your DNA, or can humanity as a whole just improve with respect to what we eat? I mean, as a dietitian, this must be a constant frustration of yours.
Complete. Very, very big frustration. That's why I do more research than tell people what to do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, everyone could improve what they're eating. The point about these tests is to be able to choose what you need to do versus someone else. So eating a kilo of broccoli is what you need to do, whereas for me, I can kind of go a little bit lower on the broccoli and focus more on things like red and blueberries, because that's where my problem is with inflammation.
Lucky you.
So, yeah, it's a great one. But what they have found is, you know, looking at the research, you're able to see when even taking in – so now what they do is they would say juice a cup of kale or juice some pomegranates, and then they measure your genetic expression, so how much your genes the making of the genes to become an enzyme is what happens with the expression, and they measure before and after with taking in, say, some pomegranate juice or the broccoli or some fish oils. And depending on what you're wanting to achieve with these nutrients, they can actually see a drastic and a significant change immediately after taking in that specific product. So
in other words, it's almost an instant improvement.
There is, but you need to – it's obviously doing the test is one part of the puzzle.
Yeah.
And then actually – taking action to it and living by what the tests say. Oh. And
this is what George does.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, I try. I try. It's a hard thing to do. It's very hard for me to cut out cheese.
You have to be so disciplined, man. You cut out a lot of the fun in life. I mean, yeah. They're all going to say to you, you should. I feel like I might just rather not want to know.
So this is the test that I found most interesting, was the DNA mind test.
Uh-huh. That's my favorite.
That's my favorite test.
This is one of the tests you guys do, right?
Yeah, so the DNA mind test. And
what did they tell you, George?
Have
you got a mind?
Yeah, that was the problem. So, and you can see those inflammation markers starting to show themselves in the same sort of ways in the DNA mind test. I wanted to know more about how my brain works, and this particular test was very.
Did you pick up anything that you knew existed in your family, like that your parents may have had or your grandparents?
No, there was no link, because I think I know that there's heart disease in my family, and so that's what sparked all of this. Was I wanted to try and avoid heart disease, and so the diet test was the first one that I did.
Mm.
But then after doing the diet test, the inflammation started to show its face, and that could be a causer for everything, a causer for the heart disease.
It really is. Yeah.
So that was the reason I did it, but then it started to become a bit of an addiction, so I did them all.
I'm so glad, and I hope it's helped.
It is. It's helping slowly, but it's very hard to understand. So you constantly have to talk to professionals to try and understand these, FKBAPS stress response.
Listen, genetic language is a whole new code.
And that's why we have... trained healthcare practitioners who understand the genetics to actually translate.
And don't you guys send the DNA samples to like Norway or something to have them analyzed?
We do have a laboratory. We have a global footprint, but our laboratory is in South Africa. It's what we call an ISO accredited laboratory, so it's got that gold standard of quality.
All right, where can people find out more, Helen?
You can go to www.dnalysis.co.za.
DNALYSIS.
So just drop an A.
DNALYSIS.
Yes.
Got you.
And you can find out more information there. There's our contact details on there, and you can give us a call, and we're happy to help.
Well, thanks for coming to see us this morning.
Thank you.
Very good.
Appreciate you having me.
George, what do you have for us?
Well, the finalists for the 2020 Auto Trader South African Car of the Year have been revealed. Da-da-da-da. And the finalists are BMW 3 Series, BMW X5, Citroen C3 Aircross, Ford Ranger Raptor, Hyundai Atos, Jaguar I-Pace, which is one of my favorites, Mazda 3, Mercedes-Benz GLE, Peugeot 5008, which is interesting, a Suzuki Swift Sport, Toyota Corolla Hatch, Toyota Supra, Toyota RAV4, and the VW T-Cross.
Wow.
So those are 14 finalists.
So people can go and vote now.
Well, yes, they can. They can begin choosing.
Is that how it's chosen?
No,
the winner.
No. So the winner's chosen across a range of professional jurors, professional journalists.
Yeah, you don't want the ordinary public. They wouldn't know their backside from there.
Well, they have a say. So what we do is we give them a vote.
Yeah, but you got the professionals moderating that.
It's a combination of a whole lot, but you're right.
You know what you get if you ask a committee to design a horse?
An upside down horse.
Or a camel or a giraffe. God alone knows. So, yes.
And then Fiat South Africa has been outrageously successful in the month of November. Usually Fiat sells around 200 odd cars a month. Because, Fiat's a very niche product in South Africa. In November, they sold 567 cars.
Sure.
So, and it's all down to this Fiat Panda.
Really?
Yes. So the Fiat Panda looks like that.
Right.
And this Fiat Panda was the thing that clocked Fiat sales for the month of November.
See, it's amazing how competitive that market is, and this is why you have to get a good designer in, and you have to get... There's where committees do help you, but committees of experts, because they help you to define what the market might want. And then if you hit it big, That can be the thing that keeps your company afloat.
Exactly.
While everyone else is losing market share.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a massive fan of making decisions by committee, because then decisions never get made. But if you've got a bunch of experts in the room and somebody can take charge, I think you can get something like the Fiat Panda.
Right. How is it that, in this case, let's say, how would the Hyundai Atos win over the Jaguar I-Pace?
Well, they are categories, so these cars can win within categories, and then there's an overall winner.
Right.
And the overall winner isn't necessarily that one car has been pitted against each other, for instance, for speed, but it's an overall assessment of the car itself in its category.
Mm.
So yes, there will be one overall winner, but the Atos could, for instance, win a particular category.
Okay.
Very good.
Very good. And then James Bond, the new James Bond movie, No Time to Die, they've started to tease it. And the new Aston Martin will have a Gatling gun out of its headlight.
That's awesome.
Which is awesome.
I want one of those cars.
Yeah.
All I want is the one with the triangular number plate thing that when you go through an e-toll,
it changes.
Or go past a speed trap, it just automatically swivels around and gives you a different registration.
I love that. It wasn't that in the early James Bond
movies?
One of the first ones.
So what's the new movie called?
No Time to Die.
But no time to yesterday either, exactly. Mr. Bond.
Why did you come here? All today? Right. Or yesterday?
All right, go on.
A gentleman in Cape Town from Kraaifontein has won the Safest Taxi Driver Award. Now, what they did was they put trackers together with Discovery, child-safe fitted trackers to taxi drivers that wanted to participate. And the Safe Travel to School initiative was started. And these taxi drivers entered, and they monitored the speed, acceleration, braking, and cornering of the driver to gather data about how safe these taxi drivers were actually driving.
Yeah.
And this Kraaifontein gentleman from the Western Cape, Pietrus Wagner.
Yes, Beatrice, we all know him, yeah.
He's been driving for 15 years, and he won himself a brand new taxi.
Lekker. Nice one, Beatrice.
Beatrice, very good.
Baie mooi.
Very, very mooi.
Oh,
and that's
very mooi.
Sweet.
All right, George, thank you so much. Thanks, everybody. We will see you on Monday. Have a good weekend. Don't do anything stupid, especially in the rain. George, what is it with people in the rain?
They can't drive. They're hit with a stupid stick.
Really?
No, they do.
They forget how to drive.
They do.
I've got to go to a meeting
people
now.
People always say that, but what do you mean? Do they go too fast or too slow?
Both.
No, I don't know. I don't know what happens, but people just become, I don't know.
Dumb.
Brain standstill.
Rain makes people dumb. I'm telling you. And then they slow down to look at other people who've had accidents, which is bad enough when it's not raining. Mm. But when it is raining, they can't see, so they, you know, they have to put on their windscreen wipers really fast, and they forget where they are, and then they're so busy rubbernecking to see the other person's accident, which is so bizarre. Like, I don't want to look at an accident.
Exactly.
I want to keep moving and get to the place that I'm in the car to get to. You know?
There's an objective.
Jeez.
Stick to it.
Dumb. Rain stupidity. Let's call it that. All right. We will see you on Monday. Have a good weekend. Thanks, everybody. Very nice. CliffCentral.com